Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like the dude just said. Hey, listen, folks, we've got a great show for you, and we've been packing it full already. Spent the whole first hour talking about vaccine mandate litigation, legislation, and machinations. All right, but now we're moving to number two on the Triple Dipper. Just call it For Whom the Politics Polls. We're going to talk politics with a good friend of the show, Jeff Poor. He is now with the Jeff Poor Show at 106.5 down in the coastal areas in Mobile and all that, but he used to be right here with WVNN. He appears weekly on the show here with me and Dale Jackson for the Grand Council on Thursdays, and he is extremely politically astute. Also, he's an editor for Breitbart News, writes for Yellowhammer, just a jack of all trades when it comes to political opining. Jeff Poor, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Sidner, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good, man. Thank you for being on. Hey, listen, before I jump into talking politics and polling and all that with you, just to get a view on that, let me just say, there's some stuff happening down on the coast that caught my attention. And since you're down there now and that's your neck of the woods, the first thing that I saw was, so the governor, her chief of staff is leaving. Joe Bonner, former Congressman Joe Bonner, chief lobbyist for the University of Alabama system, is now going to be the president of South Alabama. What's the mood down there in the coast about that? Because I've gotten mixed reviews. I've heard folks that are aggravated and don't like that idea. And then I've heard that there's business community folks down there who are excited he's coming. What are you hearing?
I think it's a good fit for South Alabama. Look, they are not, they serve a purpose in the community. I wouldn't necessarily say that there's, all high academia. They perform a lot of essential services. Look, Joe Bonner, number one, he's served as congressman down here, so he knows the lay of the land. But secondly, he knows how government works. I think South Alabama's in a phase right now where they are more interested in securing state and federal money. Well, it doesn't get any better than a former congressman and a chief of staff for the governor with this institutional wisdom of the swamp. Knows how to navigate the swamp. It's a good fit for their business model. Now, we could debate about whether South Alabama needs to be in this business of how they handle things, the way they comport themselves. That's fine. But for what they had decided to do, for what the Board of Trustees at the University of South Alabama has decided to take that in the direction they have, Joe Bonner is a perfect fit for them.
Okay. Well, that's, I've heard that there are business community folks, sort of like BCA type folks down there. And I had somebody call me actually who's not a BCAer, but called and told me the other day, hey, man, we're excited about this. And I thought, well, that's interesting because I've been looking at it more from the standpoint of he's leaving the governor's office. What does this mean for the governor's office? Less on what it means for South Alabama. But then I had to flip my switch and start thinking about it from that side. So I hear you. Okay.
And just real quick, I would say about him leaving the governor's office, there had always been some kind of discussion about him coming back. He owns a home in Baldwin County. South Alabama is close by. He's away from his family a lot as the governor's chief of staff. As you might imagine, that's a very demanding job. So there was something like this in the works, I think, for a while. And it makes sense from his personal standpoint as well.
Well, so you don't read, what I'm hearing though, is you don't really read anything into the fact that moving into an election year, he has left the governor's office. You don't see anything there in terms of like jumping ship kind of thing.
No. And he's done this before. He left Congress midterm. If you recall, like he kind of goes, he views it as a job or as an occupation that you could just switch, even though it's, you would think he would stick it out to the end of the term, but this is vintage Joe Bonner, I think.
Huh, okay. Hey, the other thing, and it may not require as much conversation, I just saw it being a big business deal. Carnival Cruise Lines is coming back to Mobile Ports, which I thought was a pretty good deal for the city of Mobile and really for the state, because that drives a lot of other revenue into the area, not just the cruise lines, but that's a good thing for y'all down there, I reckon.
Yeah, it's a good thing. There's just some discussion, though, about how underutilized that the cruise of terminal is, that cruise ship terminal. It is not living up to its potential. The state sunk a lot of money. So did local governments. They sunk a lot of money in it. Right now, Senator, there's debate about the vaccine passport. Carnival Cruise Lines being a little reluctant to come back without some guarantees that they're not going to have to be beholden to Alabama's vaccine passport ban. They're looking for an opt-out. Your next guest, Senator Orr, said it wouldn't apply to them anyway, but I think that they are looking for some kind of assurances from the state legislature. At least that's what Mobile Mayor Sandy Simpson seems to indicate.
Okay. Well, it's always something with COVID. I mean, good Lord, could we have a day without something to do with COVID? But probably not. All right, brother. Well, let's talk politics because you're a guru. You understand polling. So I'm sitting here looking at two separate articles. One in my hand actually came from Todd Stacey at AL Daily News. And we talked about this a little bit on the Grand Council the other day. But there's been some interesting shifts in the polling on statewide races for U.S. Senate right now. I mean, it's gone from daggum, just what? Mo Brooks had something like a 20-point lead a month and a half ago, and now all of a sudden he's neck and neck fighting for his political life. Give me your read on this first, and then I'll quote some numbers to go with it.
There are a couple of things. On the polls themselves at face value, I don't necessarily put a lot of stock in them, but I do think the trend is clear. This is a tightening race, and this is a pivotal time for the campaign. Look, the race, if you had to ask me, I just kind of wet my finger, stick it up in the air, it's probably about 15 points Mo Brooks' way, but that's a far cry from 40, 50 points to something very early polling had shown. What I would just say, though, I think it's a pivotal time for the race in that you talk to people that aren't necessarily hyper-engaged in what's going on in the horse race here. Look at this way. All of a sudden you're telling me I have an option, that it's not a foregone conclusion, that Mo Brooks is going to be the nominee, that Donald Trump's endorsed candidate could have competition. Well, I'm going to give this opponent a second look. Now, look, Katie Britt's not going to get all of those candidates, but all those voters, but she's going to get a few of them. And that just it creates a situation for Mo Brooks, I think, where there's momentum for Katie Britt. And for the life of me, I can't figure out where the counterpunch, if it's going to come or if they're just resigned to deal with this in the first of the year. But the polls themselves, I wouldn't take too much stock in. It was tactically brilliant what they did. On Tuesday, the campaign releases its internals. And on Wednesday, the pro Katie Britt PAC releases its internals. And they're obviously showing Katie Britt with a lead, two separate polls or surveys or whatever you want to call them, but the trend is clear. But if you're asking me, you can feel this race change on the ground. If you go to political events, you talk to people, you can really feel it tightening. You can get a sense that people are now aware of who Katie Britt is.
Well, I think that was exactly what the early part of their campaign was. Drive the name ID and create the positive image. And she has a far more, I would say, I mean, Mo Brooks has the common sense, I'm out there fighting for you, here's the bills I voted on campaign, whereas Katie Britt has the great retail politics campaign. I mean, she's saying what she'll fight for, but she doesn't have the luxury of a voting record. So she has to win on her personality, but she's got a big personality, and she's good on the stump. So I think we're seeing that. The other thing we're seeing, though, two things that really struck me in these polling numbers is, number one, in one of those polls, it recognizes there's a 31% undecided. That's a big swing. When you've got a margin of error, it's only 3 points, and you've got 31% undecided with five candidates in the race, that's a clear indicator that there's still some room to grow for some people. But the other one was the fact that Mike Durant came out of nowhere. Mike Durant came out. You've had Jessica Taylor and Linda Blanchard in the race for a while. Linda Blanchard's spending a lot of money, and out of nowhere, Mike Durant drops in, and he's immediately in the three polls, 7%, 9%, and 12%, and it supplanted both of those early candidates, Blanchard and Taylor, just knocked him out of the way, basically. So that's a great jump in for Mike Durant, in my opinion.
I agree with that, absolutely. And he's on air in a lot of places. Is it radio and TV advertising, or is it digital? where is his success coming from? It remains to be seen. Does he have a taller ceiling? Could he go higher? That's another question I don't know the answer to necessarily. I tell you what, though, one of the big, I thought, obstacles for Kady Britt early on was this. No one knew who she was. She had really low name ID. But now, and I've been all over the state the last few days, the Kady Britt billboards are everywhere. There's now a face and a name that people can put that and associate it with. I think that is starting to help. It's starting to pay dividends. What happens after this? I don't know, but the only thing that's a giant question mark to me is the Brooks campaign really banking on the Trump endorsement being the golden ticket to the United States Senate? And does Trump get more engaged? Does Trump weigh in more? Does Trump look at it like this, or do we look at it like this? Perhaps I should ask Senator, do you think if somehow Kady Britt winds up being the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, does that tarnish the Trump brand, since he went pretty hard for Bo Brooks early on? Is this something that we're going to see a little more from the former president later on down the road?
I think you're absolutely right, and I think what we're going to wind up seeing is that very soon the Trump camp is going to have to decide how it handles situations like this, and I do believe that's going to play in, which is going to lead me to, and brother, if you can hang on through the break, we're going to run to a short break right now. You good to hang on through the break, man?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to come back and go straight from that mention of the Trump thing to polling on the national level, showing that there is a complete discontent among voters with the Biden administration giving pretty much record numbers to Republicans if the votes were to be held right now on 2022 congressionals. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back with my friend Jeff Poore. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now with our friend Jeff Poore from 106.5 down in the coastal regions. Hey, Jeff, so here's the deal, man. Talking about polling, so you and I just talked about in the last segment the statewide polling here in Alabama regarding the U.S. Senate race, but there's another poll that came out just released this weekend, ABC News Washington Post poll. I mean, it has numbers that have not been seen in over 40 years that literally say that, like, right now, if the election were tomorrow, 51% of registered voters say they would support Republicans, 41% Democrats. It's the biggest lead Republicans have had since 1981. Your thoughts?
Well, it just goes to show you that the Biden administration's really fumbled this. They're not even... Look, we can disagree with how Afghanistan, how the border's being handled. Look at all the pitfalls of the Biden administration. I tell you what's surprising to me is that there seems to be very minimal effort to present any of this in a favorable way. There's, you know, every now and then you have a Ron Klain, the chief of staff for Biden, go on and say something just completely absurd. But they got the media in their back pocket. They're not touting any of their wins. They're not touting their Build Back Better program. You know, compare this administration to what we saw during the early parts of the Obama administration. Obama on TV every night. He's doing interviews. He's giving joint addresses to Congress. He's doing a bunch of things. And I think where they really suffer with Biden is he's not doing any of that. And it's causing his poll numbers to crater. Even the Obama's numbers went down, but they haven't cratered like this. And Republicans had big gains in 2010, but I think that in 2022, I mean, these are going to just, it's not going to be just Congress we need to look at. We need to look nationwide, all the way up and down the ballot, Republican versus Democrat, and it's going to be one of the biggest Republican waves we've probably seen in our lifetimes, going back to 1994 even.
Yeah, and I think you're accurate in saying that. Now, you know, the old saying is that a year is a lifetime in politics, and we're 1 year out from the final election. But you're right. And those polls right now, another part of that that same ABC News Washington Post poll, which, by the way, think about the source, folks. This is not like an internal poll done for a conservative candidate with Republican voters. This is a ABC News Washington Post poll. not known for their conservative views. It says that in Biden's job performance overall has a new low of 41% in their poll. I think it was 39 in another one recently, with a 53% disapproval rating on the way he's handled the economy. And it's tanking. Like you said, Jeff, one of the things that strikes me is, in Obama's day, I disagreed vehemently with the policies, but I could not get away from the fact that they were doing a really good job at packaging their administration's stances and at least appealing to their base. Right now, Biden's is making his own base mad. I mean, they can't even work amongst themselves because they are so disjointed and seemingly just kind of bludgeoning their way through every day.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the Democratic base has gone much further to the left since Obama was president. But look at how disciplined the Obama administration was. You never heard leaks, or you never heard, these dust-ups like we're hearing now between the Buttigieg side of the Democrat, of the White House versus the Kamala Harris side. You're not hearing about internal friction. You never heard that with Obama, but now you're starting to hear that. Is there any reason to believe that the Biden administration could start scoring some W's here and resurrect at least some of these, at least the trend, or get something they can have a signature win? What would be this early stage of the Biden presidency? What is his signature win? Is it this infrastructure bill? Is this infrastructure bill really what's going to do this? This is his legacy. I mean, you can say the same thing for Trump. He had a big tax cut very early on, but Trump did some things administratively that changed. Biden administration is not even doing that. Their approach is this, Senator. If it's Trump, we're going to do the opposite. And by that, it's just whatever Trump did is wrong. So whatever the opposite of that is good.
Yeah, and that's what's hammering them right now. In fact, part of that poll literally shows that with independents, who are often considered to be the swing voters, independents have a 50-32 favorable to Republicans as opposed to Democrats. It's going to be an interesting year, brother. I mean, I don't know. I don't see them having any big wins on the ticket coming up. I don't think an Iran deal is going to help. I don't think Afghanistan is going to help. I don't think they're going to get anything passed on their Senate spending bills. So we shall see. Hey, Jeff Poor, thanks for being with us, man. We appreciate you as always.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Hey, folks, that's Jeff Poor, 106.5 down on the coast. And you're right here with Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right on WVNN. We will be right back.